Okay, this week's parash is Parashas Yisro, the parash of Kabbalas HaTorah. Let's begin with an idea. I saw this idea, not fully, but most of the idea comes from Rav Baruch Sirotskin, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. Rav Baruch Sirotskin, Rav Shiva tells. Baruch Sirotskin, he says, Vayishma Yisro Koyin Midyan. He doesn't say exactly the way I'm saying it, but the idea is rooted in his words. Vayishma Yisro Koyin Midyan, Chayisid Moshe, Eiskol HaShe'osa, Elokim L'Moshe L'Sholamo, Ki Yitzi HaShem HaShem HaMitzroim. Rashi, the famous Rashi, the first Rashi in the Parsha, Ma Shemua Shoma Uba. What was it that Yisro heard that inspired him to join Klal Yisrael in the desert? Now, according to what Rashi himself learns, that Yisro came after Matan Torah. This was after Matan Torah, there was already a lot going on. There was a lot of reasons why you could have come. You could have come because of Matan Torah. The Koilo Yisro Brachim, since when do you hear a nation that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself comes to visit, appears in the presence of 3 million people, 600,000 people over the age of 20, men, 3 million people, every single person saw Hashem. So isn't that why Hashem came? Isn't that why Yisro was inspired? I want to see. I got to go see what's going on over here. That the Ribbono Shel Olam came and he gave the Torah. He came out of from Shemayim to this earth, to this nation. I got to go see what's going on. I got to check this out. That would be a reason to come. There was man in the desert. Whoever heard of such a thing? Man every single day falls down. Free food? A Jew always comes for free food. Okay? If you want to make an event, you want to make an event, free food. That's the secret. The secret to a man's mind is to his stomach. Okay? The be'er, water. Today they're fighting world wars. Rabbi Sai, can I please ask for a bit of decorum? It's getting a bit out of hand. The be'er, water. Today people are fighting wars over water. So maybe he came for the water. There are so many things why he could have come. Why does Rashi say, my shmua shamuba? Rashi says two things. Kriyas Yamsuf u'milchemes Amalek. Rashi cites a medrash. This is why he came. He was not impressed with Matan Torah. He was not impressed with the Mon. Not impressed with the Be'er. Not impressed with a whole long, what about Yitzias Mitzrayim? That was not enough. Rashi says that's not enough. Rashi says that's not why he came. Rashi tells us he brought them. Rashi says that Yisro came and he took with him Moshe's wife and Moshe's children. He took them with him and he went. But why did he come? Until this point in time, Yisro was living in Midian, a good life. He had a house and his daughter was there with him. And his grandchildren were with him, and Moshe Rabbeinu was in the desert, is in the desert with Klal Yisrael. He's not going nowhere. He's staying home. He's enjoying himself in Midian. Air conditioning. He has a good job. He's the Kohen Midian. What does he need to come? There's something that inspired him to take his son. So what? Just because he's a son-in-law, he's not going to come. People have children all over the world. They don't just, Kerbaisai, please. They don't just pick themselves up and travel the world in order to go visit their children and take with them their grandchildren and their son-in-law's wife. There was a trigger that inspired Yisro to go and take his. It's just afterthought. Once I'm already going to go visit Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to bring with me Moshe's wife and Moshe's children. But what was the trigger to go? There are many, if you learn like Rashi, that this event took place after Matan Torah, there are so many things that could have been the trigger. And yet, Rashi cites the first Rashi in the parasha, what inspired him was Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amalek. So basically, Rav Baruch Sirotskin, if you read between his words, he says the following answer. Everything else that you will find in this parish that could have been an inspiration was not in the zuchus of Klalis, of their own merit. In other words, let's talk about Matan Torah. Why did Klalis show merit Matan Torah? The truth was they had no choice. Hashem brought them tachtis sahar, kofa aleim har kigigis. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. If you're not going to accept the Torah, you're going to die. And in fact, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, what's the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim? So Hashem says to Moshe, when I take you out of Egypt, ta'avdun es hu'elokim alohar hazeh. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Kabbalah Satoira. It was already a guarantee from day one there would be Kabbalah Satoira. The Mon came to Klal Yisrael in the Zchus of Moshe, the Be'er in the Zchus of Miriam, the Anani HaKavod in the Zchus of Aaron. All of these things, there was someone, there was in the merit of somebody else. There were only two things in the entire story of Exodus that were in that miracles, great things that can be attributed purely to the accomplishments of the people themselves. And that is Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek. In other words, just because Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu on day one, Pakoy Pakadati, whoever said it was supposed to be a Kriyas Yamsuf? What is Kriyas Yamsuf all about? Kriyas Yamsuf was not part of the plan. Kriyas Yamsuf evolved. It was added into the narrative later on. It wasn't part of the plan. Okay? Lahavdil Elif Alfi Avdolos. You ever watch Star Trek? Beam Me Up, Scotty? That wasn't part of the script. That's a legacy. They had a special spacecraft. And when it came time to film the transport, the prop was not ready. The contractor did not have the prop. So they had no time. They had to get the show on the road. So on the spot, they said, you know what? So instead of having a prop, having a ship to go take them from the mothership to the ground, we'll just invent on the spot, beam me up. Okay? It was on the fly. Kriyas Yamsuf was on the fly. It was not part of the plan that the Yam should split and they should miraculously cross by Yabasha. Why did this happen? Rashi says, why? Because let's understand, the entire story of Yitzias Mitzrayim was all pretty much Zuchus Avos from day one. Yodoya Teda Kiger Yihye Zaracha Bi'eretz Loilohem Vavodum the Idu Yosam Arame Yoshana the Achrei Chen Yetsu Beruchush Gadol. The whole thing was, by and large, Zuchus Avos. In your merit, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, you can have a nation, and then after the Makabal of the Torah, then they'll get working. Then they'll have their own merits. I'm giving them a free pass in the Zuchus Avos to get to a certain point. And once they get the Torah, they're on their own. But to get there, I'm going to help them out, Zuchus Avos. But then when they left Mitzrayim, things did not go as planned. Because halalu of the avodah zara, v'halalu of the avodah zara, they chased. There was a problem, and then it says they came up against the yam. There was kitroig, and then it says matitzak elai. Moshe begins to daven matitzak elai daber el bnei Yisrael v'yiso. Rashi, kedai hu ho'emuna sheheminu heim. Rashi, this is where Baruch Shrutzkin points out. He mentions then Rashi was Zchus Avos, but it says there, for the very, very first time in Chazal, that when they found themselves at this dangerous matzav at the Yam, Rashi there says, Hashem says, these people right here on the ground have their own merit. Forget about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. When you came to the Moshe Rabbeinu and you said Pokoi Pokaditi, how did they respond? Vayamein ha'om. They had faith. And in the zuchus of that faith, Vayamein ha'om, and they pledged to follow and to listen to you and to do and to take risks, I'm kedai who amina shaminu that he believed in the Rashi's in their zechus. I will now split the yam for them. Hashem could have, if it was all these chusav, Hashem could have just brought about, they would never chase after us. Or they would just die in another miracle. Dam, tzfardei, akidim, akas, b'chayos. It didn't have to happen, kriyas yamsuf. Kriyas yamsuf, in the eyes of Chazal, and the way Rabbi Baruch Sirotkin understands it, it's a very tremendous chiddush, is an event that was purely done due to the accomplishments of the Jewish people living at that time.
It was not preordained?
No.
That's
no, it's not preordained. No, it was not preordained. The whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, more or less, was Hashem was going to make it happen in the Zuchus Ovos. Now, that's a very general term. Obviously, we also need zchusim also. You know, it's not, you know, there's no such thing as pure as chusavis. You got to be with the program. Okay, but by and large, the engine driving the story, the narrative was chusavis. We were steering, you know, we were steering the car. We were behind the driver's wheel and we were making decisions. We were also involved. But the engine was made by Rolls Royce. Okay, it was by the others. They were driving, but when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, that's not their doing. Kriyas Yamsuf is purely an event that took place purely in the zechus, the accomplishments of the people who lived through the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, their own personal merit. Yeah.
They earned that merit, given that right before Kriyas Yamsuf, they were attitude-wise all over the place.
Hamibli ain't from Mitzrayim. You're right, Rashi says, it's not from that. It's from when Moshe came to them and said to them, Pokoid Pokadati, the Ribbono Shel Olam remembers you and he wants to take you out of Egypt. And what does the Pasuk say? Vayamein Ha'om. The people believed in Moshe Rabbeinu. They had faith in him. They believed. Rashi, Baruch Sirotkin, just quoting Rashi. Let me go to the pasuk in Bishalach. I'll read you the Rashi that he quotes. These are his words. Okay, they come right before. They come to the Yam. Let me find the place. Hamibli and Kvarim b'Mitzrayim. Moshe begins to daven. Pasuk Tezvav is in Bishalach, and the first pasuk of Shlishi Matitzak Elai Lamadnu. Okay, next Rashi Dabur El Bnei Shavi So Ein Lohem El Elisa She Ein Hayom Oimei Bifneim Kedai. Now here's the words Zuchus Avoy Sehem. Okay, that's not what we're saying. And here are the next words. These are the words that Baruch Shoskin emphasizes. Veheim, their own merit. The zechus of their ancestors. Here is the first time ever in the entire story you'll have a chazal that tells you that the people living at this time had their own merit. Veheim, their own zechus. And then he goes further. The he'emuna, not just merit, faith. The faith she'eminu bi, that these people in front of you, they had faith in me. V'yetzu l'kroi, she'eminu bi, what was the faith? The Mefarshim explained when they said, v'yamein ha'am. Therefore, v'yetzu l'kroi lohem hayom. And because of this, the Yatsu, Hashem, therefore Hashem in response, Hashem now decided in response, the Yatsu, L'kroya Lohem Hayom, Hashem now went forth to split for them the sea. Okay, so Baruch Sirotkin is saying a tremendous chiddush.
Why does it say, you know, Dera Hamid Bar Yom Suf? I mean, God planned to take them.
Not necessarily, not
that's what it says,
along that route. Doesn't necessarily mean And so maybe that's all part of the emunah. Maybe from that point on, when they left Mitzrayim, Hashem now decided he's going to bring about a Kriyas Yam Suf. And he set it up that there should be a, but the point is, the entire, wherever you want it to start, obviously the Kriyas Yam Suf is going to have a starting point.
I'll take very strong issue with you.
Okay, fine. Okay. I'm not afraid of that. This is what Rav Baruch Sirotskin says. There are many, many events. If Yisro came, there was the Mon. There was the Makos. What about the 10 Makos? Makos Bechoros. What about the entire Yitzias Mitzrayim? What about the Mon, the Be'er, the Nani Yaakovot, Matan Torah? None of these things had any effect on the mind of Yisro. He hears about the 10 Makos, Makos Bechoros. 3 million people are leaving Egypt when it never happened, even one person left Egypt. Hashem himself comes and gives them the Torah. Hashem gives them Mon, a Be'er, a Nani Yaakovot. Couldn't kill us. Big deal. What else is new? Turns the newspaper. What's in the sports section today? Doesn't make a dent on the mind of Yisro. But when Yisro hears there's a Kriyas Yam Suf, and he hears the Milchemes HaMolek, which we'll go to 1 second, all of a sudden, he is affected.
Yeah, but that's something that everybody saw.
What do you mean? And they knew it. They didn't see. The Pasha says everyone, there was enough of a report to hear about all of, it says by Matan Torah, the whole world didn't move. The whole world didn't move when Hashem came down to give the Torah. They must have heard, how are the 3 million people surviving in the desert? There's Mon, Anani Yaakovot, this. So he says, study Chazal. Study the words of Chazal. It's a chiddush what he's saying. But if you study the words of Chazal, the engine that drove every single event, the engine that drove every single event of Yitzias Mitzrayim was primarily Zuchus Ovis. Yodoya Teda Ki Ger It was predetermined that there's going to be Yeitzu Beruchosh Gadol. It doesn't say anywhere there's going to be a Kriyas Yam Suf. The Mon, Bizchus Moshe. The Be'er, Bizchus Miriam. Anani Akavoid, Bizchus Aaron. Matan Torah, Hashem told Moshe, when I take you out of Mitzrayim, there's a price to pay. The price to pay is, I'm going to take you out, I'm going to give you the Torah. Too bad for you. You're going to have to receive the Torah whether you like it or not. You're just robots. All of these things that are happening, it's old news. It's all handouts, entitlements. What have you done for me? What accomplishments, what have you achieved? Kriyas Yam Suf is the Yesoid. Kriyas Yam Suf is not the Zuchus Ovis. The event of Kriyas Yam Suf, the entire story of Kriyas Yam Suf with the Bizas Hayam and everything that happened in Parashas B'Shalach is Kedai Hu'emuna, the Zuchus, it says also Zuchus Ovis, but Rashi adds, Veheim. For the first time, their own merit. Number two, Vehamuna Shehaminu Bi. It's now time for me to pay these people an extra special present because when Moshe came to them and said to them, Pokoid Pokaditi, they didn't have to say Vayamein Ha'am. They didn't have to say that. Even if they would not have said Vayamein Ha'am, there still would have been a Yitzias Mitzrayim. You know why? Because Hashem told Avram Avinu there would be. And Hashem doesn't lie. Hashem said to Avram Avinu, V'achreichein yeitzu b'ruchosh gadol. So when Moshe comes and says, Pokoid pokadeti, if the people would say, get lost. We don't believe you. Don't bother us. Spam. This is a spam call. This is junk mail. This is fake news. It doesn't matter. It would have happened anyway. Because Hashem told Avram Avinu, it's going to happen. This that they had the courage to say, V'yamein ha'am, wow, that was special. And that deserves an extra special reward. And you know what that reward's going to be? Kriyas Yam Suf. Okay, this is the Yesoid. Amalek. V'chasher Amalek, Milchemes Amalek. You don't have a chance. We don't have a chance against Amalek. weapons of mass destruction? Well, how do they survive? It's a pasuk. V'chasher yorim Moshe yodoy v'govar Yisrael. V'chasher yoniach yodoy v'govar Amalek. What does Rashi say? When Moshe would raise his hands to heaven, that doesn't mean they would win the war. Klal Yisrael would look to Moshe for inspiration. They would daven. They would daven. And the Hashem answered their prayers and brought about a miraculous victory. How do you know that? Because v'chasher yoniach yodoy, because when they put Moshe put his hands down and the people stopped davening, Hashem didn't do them any favors. Hashem didn't say, oh, I'll help you, Zuchus, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, we'll take out all of the Ushpizim. It says in the Pasuk, V'chasher yoniach yodoy, V'govar Amalek. You want to win this battle? You got to work for it. You got to work for it. That's why Parshas B'Shalach has two stories. The story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, I mean the beginning, begins with Kriyas Yamsuf and ends with Amalek. This B'Shalach is the parsha of you gotta earn it. You gotta earn your own keep.
Right.
You have to earn your own keep. Parshas Bo, Shemos, Vo'ere, Bo, and Parshas Yisro, it's not ours. Tzchus Ovois. It's Hashem's deal with us. You're gonna be mekabel the Torah. I'm gonna take you out of Mitzrayim. It's not ours. We cannot take credit for it. These two events, from everything else in the entire story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, is something that we can say we take credit for. That's very satisfying. To be able to say that you've accomplished something and that you're not just living off someone else's achievements, accomplishments. Ma Shemua Shama Uba. Yisro was a very smart man. Yisro was not impressed when he opened up the paper and read about all the miracles, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yeah. Zichos Ovois. He has a Yerusha here about people that are very wealthy, they have family money, and they do very nice things. Okay? It's not their accomplishments. But when you hear about what a person on his own accomplishes, that is impressive. To see that Klal Yisrael on their own merited a Kriyas Yamsuf, in their own merit, Vayamein Ha'am, to see that Klal Yisrael was able to go up against the mightiest army in the world, Amalek, and to survive in their own merit, not to hold on to the coattails of someone else, that is very impressive. And this is something that it's worthy for me to go to the desert and to see such a thing, to see a person who earns his own keep, his own way. That's kedai. That's something that's very, very, very worthy, very impressive. That's the hakdama to Matan Torah. You have to, comes a point in life, you have to do something that you can call your own. Not just to sit back and rely upon the merit and the zuchus of someone else. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have over here a Rashi, which I never really paid attention to, but it struck me. It struck me here, something that's a very small point, but I think there's something very deep. I always wondered, who did Moshe marry? You know, when you're in the world of Shaduchim, what do you look for in a Shaduch? You look for money, you look for beauty, you look for yichus, you look for prestige. What do you look for? So okay, listen, it's not a matter of what you want; it's a matter of what is available. Okay, that's a very big yisoid in Shaduchim. Don't ever try to say, what do you, when anyone who asks this fellow, what are you looking for? That is not a clever thing to say. It's not a matter of what you're looking for. It's a question of what is available. And they're very, very different. And 99% of the time, what you're looking for is not available. Okay? It's what is available. What are the options? You don't start out to invent, to create situations. You deal with what the facts on the ground. What is available? Why did Moshe marry Tzipora? I always wondered that. What did Moshe see in this young lady, in this young woman, that he married her? Some say for 40 years. She threw him, it was a love story. She threw in the dungeon, potatoes. Okay, some story. There's a whole story that Yisrael thought he was a devil. And he threw him into the dungeon and thought he would be dead in a week. How long can a person survive without any food? He threw him into a dungeon. And lo and behold, he's still going. Who's feeding this guy? Who's feeding him potatoes in the dungeon? It's his own daughter. And Moshe developed an affinity to her. Okay, but there's a whole story. Question. What did Moshe see in her that Moshe married a girl from Midian? It's not exactly, you know, a shidduch, the ideal shidduch. Right? What's going on here? So there's a Rashi. And I think this Rashi opens up really a whole world in Yadus. And a whole world in the sixth parasha. Rashi says, first Rashi of the sixth parasha, Yisrael comes. All of a sudden, Rashi has to tell us, guess what? Yisrael, he has seven names. You think he only has one name? He has seven names. Can you imagine what his bris was like? The Yikarei Shmoy B'Yisrael. You ever go to a bris where they give a child seven names? Okay, seven names. Okay, it says, Mashmu Shamu. So Rashi says, Yisro Shiva Shemais Nikrolai. Unbelievable, right? Ruel was the first name. Where's Ruel? In Vayavel and in Parsha Shemos. That Benois Yisro Vayavo El Ruel Avihen, by the well. Moshe shows up. He removes they're harassing these girls. There are seven daughters. Yisrael had seven daughters. Yisrael was not subject to ayin hara. Anyone who has seven daughters, no one is giving an ayin hara to. No one thinks that's funny? Okay. So he had seven daughters. No, you understand that? To marry off seven daughters is not easy. So, you know, you give an ayin hara to a person that you're mekaneh. If you're mekane someone, you're jealous of someone, you get an ayin hara. But if you're not jealous of someone, you don't give an ayin hara. Someone has seven daughters to marry you off, no one's jealous of them. No one's jealous. It's an avoida. It's a big avoida to marry off seven daughters. So someone has seven daughters, you don't have an ayin hara. What?
By each one he made a chasna, and then he went bankrupt, so he had to change his name each time.
Oh, that's the famous joke. That's the popular joke. Exactly. Okay, everybody, I'm running out of time. Everybody, please, let's move on. Let's move. He had seven daughters. Seven names. Why are seven names? Ru'uel, Yeser, Yisrei, Choyvayv, Chever, Keni, Putiel. And then Rashi goes on to explain to you every one of his names. At the end of the Rashi, Rashi says, guess what? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe he only had six names. And the name Ru'uel is not Yisro. Ru'uel was Yisro's father. Oh, but it says in Parsha Shemos, Vayavohu el Ru'uel Avien. They went to Ru'uel Avien. So Rashi says, Umahu Oimer Vatovon el Ru'uel Avien. The answer is, who is? This is Tzipora. Tzipora comes to the well and she's being harassed. So where does she go? She goes back home to the Zeda. She goes back to her grandfather. And she says to her grandfather, Father, shehatinoikos, little girls, children, koirin la'avi avihen, they call their grandfather Abba, vayovo el ru'uel avihen. He really went to the grandfather. Now, isn't that amazing? That Tzipora had a very close relationship with her grandfather. We learned this week about Noach. We learned this week about Kibud Avoim. The Medrash tells us that the ancients, the people who lived in ancient times, they were zeichet ha'arichas yomim because they were nizer in Kibud Avoim. They gave cover to their parents like none other. But that very same Medrash goes on to say, but none of them gave cover to their grandfather. In the ancient way of thinking, you give cover to your father. Your father brought you into this world. It's your duty. Okay? It's your duty. It's your duty to give honor to your father. But grandparents, that was a very rare thing. Noach, we learned in the Medrash, was unique and he gave honor to his grandfather. But not the average person. Matan Torah, Pasuk says, not in this expression, it says, Vaydatem livonecha ulvnei vonecha yoim asher madata lifnei Hashem Elokecha b'choyreif. Torah makes it very clear that it's the duty of a grandfather to teach the story of Matan Torah to their children. At the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, it's time to leave Mitzrayim. Uleman tesaper bi'oznei bincha uven bincha eis asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim. V'igarta levincha b'yom ha'huleim markei. We have the admission of Haggadah is only to the children, but Matan, the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim is primarily to the children, but Torah, okay, let's just focus on that pasuk. That's everyone agrees to that principle. That choyreif is v'hoidatem, you shall make it known levonecha ulevenei vonecha. What is Moshe's legacy? What is the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu? Torah, Matan Torah. It's Torah's Moshe. Moshe brought down the Torah from Shemayim. Moshe is Matan Torah. Okay, his name is synonymous. And the Ribbono Shel Olam demands that Matan Torah is an event that's not like other mitzvahs which just extend to the child. It extends to your grandchildren. When Moshe Rabbeinu met a girl, Tzipora, who had a relationship with her grandfather, this was very different. This is not something you see every day. Chazal, in society for sure you don't see. Look at today's society by the Goyim. The Goyim today, the children don't have. You don't have it. And Chazal make it clear. In ancient times, Chazal say, children, the most you could expect from a child is a parent. Okay? Dama ben Nesina was very nizar in Kibud Avoim. But he was not nizar in grandparents. Doesn't say about anything about grandparents. Moshe, Matan Moshe Rabbeinu is Torah. Torah v'hoidatem levonecha ulevenei vonecha. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the well and he sees this girl being harassed by the shepherds. And Moshe, he takes away the rock. He gets rid of them and he gives them to drink. And then who do they run home to? Not to their father. They go to, their father's alive. Yisro's alive. We know Yisro. Yisro, he ends up marrying. He's all, Yisro, chaysen Moshe. Yisro, chaysen Moshe. They're not orphans. They're not orphans. And yet, who do they go to? Who do they have a relationship with? Their grandparents. Moshe says, a person who has in their DNA a desire to connect to a legacy, to a Messiah, back up, not just my father, next generation to go further. This is what Torah is all about. I want to marry this woman, because I want my children should have this gene where they will also relate to me as a grandfather. And I want to be a model for Klal Yisrael. V'hoidatem livonecha ulivenei vonecha yoy masher amata lifnei Hashem elokecha b'choyreif. Okay, Pesel Micha, by the way, is all about the grandchildren of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, that's also ties into that. That's a whole different discussion to elaborate upon that. Moshe Rabbeinu's grandchildren, there's a whole discussion. They were big Talmidei Chacham, there's a whole discussion. Who were they? What happened? It's not another topic. But this Rashi here in the middle of nowhere, Yisro, where he talks about Moshe Rabbeinu's his father-in-law's seven names. And one of them is Reuel. And Rashi says, no, Reuel is the Zedah. It opens up a whole new world into understanding. Now, it makes a lot of sense why at this moment in time, at the time of Matan Torah, you know who should be reunited with Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe's wife and Moshe's children. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he married her, it was because of the need of appreciating not just your father, previous generation. And now that we've achieved Matan Torah, we have to go further. V'hoidatem levonecha ulevenevonecha yoyim asher amatel v'nei Hashem elokecha b'chorev. And you know who's going to teach us this? The Rebbetzin. The Rebbetzin is going to give classes to the Olam what it means to have a relationship with your grandchildren. Because she knows better than anyone else, because she had a relationship with her grandfather. Can you talk about Rebbetzins? This is the parish of the Rebbetzins. The Rebbetzin is going to give a class. Now that the rabbi has established the Torah, now it's time for the Rebbetzin to enter into the picture, to Tzipora to come on the scene. And we need specifically Tzipora more than anyone else, because she went El Ru'u El Avihen, because she knows what it means, a relationship between a grandchild and a grandparent. Okay, now let's go to another idea. I saw something yesterday which blew my mind. Never heard such a thing before. And it changes everything. It changes the whole world. Listen, Ibn Ezra. Someone told me the Rambam is something very similar. Ibn Ezra says, what is the ask any child, anyone in the world, what is the first, the Aseres HaDibrais? What is the first Dibur? What is the first one? Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoci Sichem Yeretz Mitzrayim. Okay, question. How come the first Dibur does not have a Parsha Stuma at the end? It just keeps on going. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoci Sichem Yeretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim. And then the next pasuk says, Lo why is there not a break, a samach, a parsha stuma between the first dibur and the second dibur? You'll give me answers, but it's a good question nevertheless. Another question: why is there a parsha stuma between loisachmoid beis re'echa and loisachmoid eishes re'echa? And why do we have to break? Why do we have to elaborate and separate the Beis Reyecha from Eishes Reyecha? The Midah of Chemda, of Leisachman, it's all the same. If you're in violation of Leisachman, what difference is it? The Beis Reyecha, the ox, the donkey, this person's wife, it's all the same, right? It's all the same. What's going on over here? So the Ibn Ezra says something that is shocking. And he says, you've been fooled your whole life. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is not the first Dibur. It's the introduction to the Aseres HaDibros. It does not count as the first Dibur. There's no Parsha Stuma. No Parsha Stuma. The first Dibur is Lo Yihi. Also Lo. There's a command. What to do, what not to do. Lo Yihyeh lecha Elohim acherim al ponoi. A clear statement. This is Dibur number one. Onochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeicha mi'eretz Mitzrayim is hello, good morning, greetings. Okay, it's just an introduction to the Aseres HaDibros. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, we only have nine. We only have nine. Oh, but you don't. Ibn Ezra says, no. there's a parasha stuma in between loisachmoid beisrayecha and the next pasuk loisachmoid eishesrayecha. Loisachmoid beisrayecha is number 9, and loisachmoid eishesrayecha is number 10. Wow, they're so different that you're going to divide them into two separate dibros. Where do you get that from? So now let's try to explain this with another very popular drush, which by me was never very popular because I never understood it. But with the Ibn Ezra, it takes on an entirely new meaning. If you've been around the block, you had to hear at one point in time a rabbi make a drush and say, look, there are Aseres HaDibros. Who said you should read them down? Let's read them across. Let's read them across. So that means, in the classical way that you have on top of the luchos, and it used to be in the olden days, not anymore. Oh, they still have, look at that. Yeah. They still have the luchos here in the shul. They didn't shatter them yet. No one took them down yet, right? They're still there, the luchos. So on the luchos, the first one is Hashem. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So if you read it across, what is Kineg Anochi Hashem Elokecha? Lo Yisirtzach. So you'll always hear a rabbi make a drasha. What is the connection between Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yisirtzach? And they'll explain, man is created in the Tzelem Elokim. So it's similar. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam and Hashem's creation. Lo Yisirtzach, don't kill a person because a person is Hashem. Now that's the easy part. From here on in, it gets a little more difficult. Lo yelecha Elohim acherim. Lo sinaf. Don't have another God. If you have a man lives with an eshes ish, so that's called another God. Your wife is your God. Whatever she says, if she says you go now to the Washington Bridge and you jump, you do what she says, whatever she says. So if you have another wife, that's lo sinaf. This part. Okay, let's go to the third one. Lo sisa. Don't take Hashem's name in vain. That corresponds to like tignoiv. Okay, stealing, in order to achieve success in stealing, you have to go in front of the judge. Judge, I didn't steal. I didn't do that. No. All right, you can fit it in. Shabbos. Now here's what a Shabbos is, a little bit more complicated. Shabbos is loisane. Do not testify falsely. Shabbos indeed is. What is Shabbos? Shabbos, Eid Hashem made the world. Okay, then it's Kabbid HaSadich V'Yasimecha. Now this is a little more complicated. This is the hardest one of them all. Honor your parents, give kavod, loisachmoid. You gotta be a little creative. What is the connection between loisachmoid, don't covet, something else, but give honor to your parents? I'll let you think about that. It's a hard one. Okay. However, based on the Ibn Ezra, that is machadesh, that you got all wrong. You've not been taught correctly. Anoichi is not the first dibur. Anoichi is an introduction. Now we're going to match everything up differently, and the way it matches now, we have to see. You're not going to believe me. It fits much better. There's a certain satisfaction. Not only is there a satisfaction, it gives us a understanding, a deep understanding between the difference of Leisachmoid Beis Reyecha and Leisachmoid Eishes Reyecha. Let's just go to it together. The first one is Lo Yelecha. Don't have other gods. What does that correspond to? That corresponds to, no, we changed. Lo Sirtzach is not, no, Lo Sirtzach now is number 5. Is number 5. Right, we're changing everything now. We're starting. The first one is Lo Yelecha, Lo Sisa, Zochar Shema Shabbos, Kabe Lo Sirtzach, Lo Sirtzach. So therefore, what now corresponds Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim Alponai, Lo Tinof. Don't commit adultery. The entire Sefer Yecheskel, from beginning to end, Kimat, the entire Sefer Mishle, from beginning to end, says exactly this. That having another god is equivalent to worship, is equivalent to adultery. I mean, this is Chazal only 1,000 times over. The Pesel is called the Kina HaMekane. It's adultery. Having another god, we are married to Hashem. If you take for yourself an idol, it's like having a relationship with a married woman. Another god, it's adultery. I mean, you cannot get better than this. When you learn like the Ibn Ezra, and you say that the first dibur is lo yelucha, and now you want to read the luchos, that automatically means that the way the luchos are going to be written is not like this. It's going to be 5 and 5. So it's going to be on this side, lo yelucha, and then on the left side, the corresponding is going to be lo tinuf. Don't commit adultery. Exactly. That's what worshiping an idol is. Because we're married to Hashem. And if we worship an idol, we are committing adultery. It's perfect.
But that's the same as the first way. We didn't change anything yet.
In the first version...
The same too.
No. In the first version... It was Anochi. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Anochi.
Same exact thing.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. Okay, you're right. I made a mistake. You're right. That indeed is the same. That it does. I'm sorry. You're right. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. No. What?
Yes. You were saying if we're not taking the 1 to 5.
Okay, fine. Okay.
One with 6, I mean.
Okay. Okay. You're right. You're right. Okay, I made a mistake. Correct. So that's the same.
Same.
That will always be the same in the way you arrange it. Okay. Now it's different. Now everything turns out different. Now there's going to be a shift. Okay, you have to put it on paper. You have to put them on paper and see how they correspond. Now, number two. Number two is lo sisa. Do not swear falsely. Now, until now, where was lo sisa? What was lo sisa until now? Lo sisa was lo tignaif. Now, lo sisa. Wait, you're right. It's also going to be lo sisa. Is also going to be lo tignaif. Okay, I'm getting a little confused.
We're right.
It's going to be the end. The only difference is not going to be the end. You're right. And I didn't really pay attention. You're right. Zohar is going to be Loisane. Okay. Kabe, now here's where the differences are. Now is where you shift, the last two.
Okay.
The Nafgamina now is going to be the last two. When we go and we shift, and we say the starting number one is going to be Lo Yelucha, the Nafgamina now is going to be Kabeid Es Avichav Yasimecha. Is now going to respond to loisachmoi beis reyecha. Now it's going to make beis reyecha, and loitir and loitirzach
eishes
reyecha. So now let's explain. Let's explain what the nuance, the difference is. Until now, in the symbol on the sitting on the aseres adibros, there's only one dibur loisachmoi beis reyecha. What is the bias? When you take the word bias and you associate it together with a wife, a donkey, a utensil, the classic understanding is there's one dibur. Dibur number 10 is loisachmoi beis reyecha. Loisachmoi eishes reyecha. The avdoi, the amosoi, the shoiroi, the chamoiroi, the chol asher l'reyecha. We're listing property, possessions. What is a bias? A bias is, where do you live? What's the address? Tell me your address. I'll Google it. I'll go to Street View. And I'll see if you live in a fancy house or you live in a not such a fancy house. Bias, when you take bias and you connect bias to Eishes Reyecha, Avdoi, Amosoi, Shoirei, Chamoirei, V'chol Asher L'Reyecha, the word bias means a physical abode. Do you live in a $5 million mansion or do you rent a basement apartment? And the pasuk says, don't covet the bias of your friend. Your friend has a $5 million apartment. Mind your own business. Don't covet his apartment. if your friend lives in a basement with mice and rodents, it's much easier not to copy. But now, because bias is nothing different than a slave, an ox, donkey, or any of his possessions. But now we completely separate bias from everything else, and we match up the word bias to kabed, es avicha v'es imecha. Bias no longer means a possession. A bias means your yichus. A person comes from a home. Where do you come from? Who are your parents? Whoever your parents. Oh, but there's my friend, he's an anacle of the briskerov. This person, he's an anacle of this very holy tzaddik. This person comes from a very wealthy family. This person comes from Malchus, comes from Shevet Yehuda. This person comes from the family of Shaul HaMelech. When you take the word bias outside and you slice it and you remove it and you take it away from Ishtoi, Avdoi, Amosoi, Chamoiroi, the translation of the word bias no longer means a physical home which has a dollar value. Bias then means your family, a home. And now it makes a whole new meaning of the parallel to kabed es avicha v'yasimecha. You read them across. Kabed es avicha v'yasimecha. Loisachmoid. Person looks at his parents. Why should I have respect for my father? He's a shoemaker. He's a shoemaker. He's a guardian of cucumbers. I should go have respect for my father. If my father was Malchus, he was David Melech Yisrael. Oh, then I would give my father covered. If my father went and he won Nobel Prize, I would give him covered. My father was a big Rosh Hashiva, I would give. What's my father? Maybe he's a criminal. Maybe he's sitting in prison. Maybe my father is just an ordinary guy. I should mechabed my father. Now it's a whole new meaning. Yes. It doesn't make one bit of a difference if your father is David Melech Yisrael, if your father is a Rosh Hashiva, or your father is a Shomer Kishuim. Because Lo Sachmoid Beis Reyecha. Don't think about someone else's bias. Bias doesn't mean a physical house worth $5 million. That's for Chol Asher L'Reyecha. When the next Dibur number 10 says, the Chol Asher L'Reyecha, that is discussing a mansion of $5 million. But bias means family. Sometimes you see people that have such beautiful families. Wow, look at, they go to a simcha, a chasana. Look at that family. What a family. They're loyal to each other. They're choshev a family, they're tzaddikim, they're good for each other. I'm jealous. I covet. I wish I had this. I now go home to my father. He's drunk. He's sleeping. I have to support him, do this, that. The Torah says, watch out here. Watch out. Loi sachloi beis reyecha. Kabeir esavicha v'yasimecha. And now when it says, dibur number 10, loi sirtzach, don't murder. Now it totally changes. Loi sirtzach, that corresponds to eishes re'echa. There's only one way to get someone else's wife. Okay, or what basically means, if someone, it makes a lot more, because it says there, eishes re'echa, avdoi, amosoi, shoiroi, chamoroi, v'chol asher re'echa. Loi sirtzach doesn't mean to murder. It means eliminate him. When you get him out of the way, when you get him out of the way, the property can now become mine. The only reason why these items are not mine is because they belong to someone else. If you remove him, doesn't have to mean you remove him with coal. That's the extreme element. But when he's eliminated, when this individual, then the property is available. It's available, I can then take possession. When a person covets someone else's acquisitions, so what does he do? You maneuver, the way you maneuver, if that you allow that unhealthy feeling to desire what someone else has, if you let it blossom and mushroom, the only way you're going to be able to fully acquire it without any struggle is to eliminate the owner. That's a reality. So it makes a lot of sense. So there's an incredible, incredible advantage. Navosi, exactly. Navosi wanted the field. The only way to get the field was to make a Baba Maisa to kill the owner of the field, to go kill him, and that way you can take the field. That's the result. So there's an incredible advantage. Look what we're doing over here by his side. This, in and of itself, is an incredible chiddush, Ibn Ezra. And it makes a lot of sense. Anochia, everyone struggles. You cannot learn a mafarish, you don't get a sense of struggling. What is the difference between Anochia Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yeh Lecha Elohim Achrim Al Ponai? Why do we break them up into two dibris? Why in the Torah is there no parasha stuma between the two? The difficulty of why is there a parasha stuma between of Leisachmoit Beis Reyecha and Leisachmoit Eishes Reyecha? The chiddush of the Ibn Ezra is incredible. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is not the first one of the Aseres HaDibros. It's an introduction. The Aseres HaDibros begins with Lo Yiyah L'cho Elohim Acherim. That's number one. Where's number 10? He splits Lo Leisachmoit Beis Reyecha from Leisachmoit Eishes Reyecha. That Chiddush now allows us to enter into phase two, to read the Aseres HaDibros across. The first three, is not going to make a difference in this version. But the last two have an entirely different meaning, which changed everything. And that, number one, the translation of the word bayis does not mean a physical abode. It means family. Appreciate your family. When it says in the pasuk "Kabed Avicha V'Yasimecha," it gives the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em a whole new flavor. Appreciate your parents, your family. Loisachmoid. What do you read across then when you read in this version? Loisachmoid Beis Reyecha. Don't covet the family. Someone else's father, someone else's family. Appreciate your family. And now it fits much better than even the last dibur. When it comes to the last dibur of acquisitions, possessions, of Eishes Reyecha, the Avdoi, Shorei Chamoroi, that's Kenegel Leisirtzach. Because the reality is the only way a person allows this feeling of Leisachmoid to mushroom, to grow, it's going to lead ultimately, the extreme element will lead to a Sirtzach, to eliminate the competition, to eliminate the owner. So you could acquire it. If you're not going to commit a Leisirtzach in cold blood, there'll be other maneuvering to remove the owner, to diminish his existence, so you can take possession of that property. Okay. It's late, we have to stop here. There's more, but I guess we'll have to stop here. Have a wonderful Shabbos. I have enough. Same thing.